Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 27, The Beast Image, Mark, Abomination, and Son of Perdition.
The true gospel exchanges the earthly image for the heavenly image. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Seeing, whenever they say seeing like this in the Bible, you'll notice he's talking about seeing by faith, with the eye of faith, right? Seeing that you have put off the old man. This is what we're supposed to see. This is how we're supposed to see in the kingdom. Seeing that you put off the old man, which is the beast, with his doings, and have put on the new man, which is Christ, that is being renewed unto knowledge. See, the Word of God is what brings us the image of the new man, Christ, after the image of Him that created Him. See, we through the Word of God, through the renewing of our mind, we are coming into the image of Christ. We're putting off the image of the beast and we're putting on the image of Christ. See, the traditions of men do just the opposite to a Christian, even. The traditions of men, Romans 1, 22-25, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, when is it when people profess themselves to be wise? When they disagree with the Word of God and they give you their own doctrine and they make their own Jesus up instead of the Jesus of the Bible, they're professing themselves to be wise and they will become fools. They change the glory of the incorruptible God, which is the image of Christ, for the likeness of an image, same word, icon, of corruptible man, which is the image of the beast. So, by their foolishness and by preaching another Jesus with another word, they're actually bringing people back into the bondage of the beast, into the image of the beast. Because they exchange the truth of God, which is the word, for a lie. And worshiped and served the creature, that's the image of the beast, rather than the creator, which is the image of God. See, it is dangerous to sit underneath false teaching, especially when they're preaching another Jesus and another gospel and another spirit, as Paul called it. Because another Jesus is Antichrist. Christ is the Word which came down out of heaven, John 6, 32, 33, and 51. And the beast is the Word from the abyss, Revelation 11, 17. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. See, only the Word that came down out of heaven can recreate us in the image of Christ and make us acceptable. You know, in the parable of the sower went forth and sowed the seed, and the seed was the Word of God. And the word for seed there, by the way, is sperma. You know, Jesus reproduces Himself as God's character. Well, men reproduce themselves with their sperma. Well, Jesus' sperma is the Word of God. It's the only thing that will reproduce Him. The only thing that will reproduce Him. If you change that, you end up with another Jesus. See, the most important, there isn't anything more important even going to church. There's nothing more important than getting familiar with the Word of God so that you don't swallow something that's not the Word of God. And so, Jesus, each seed brings forth after its own kind, and only the Word can bring forth the image of Christ in His body. If you're sitting in a body, if the preacher isn't coming into the image of God, don't bother to listen to him because it won't help you either. Right? Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. Then the herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, fall down and worship the golden image." And all the peoples, including the Jews and the nations and the languages, fell down and worshiped the golden image. Well, the word herald there, this is really peculiar. I feel like the Lord spoke to me one time to look that up, and I did, and I was shocked. Because in all of that text, there's one Greek word. This is back when Greek wasn't a worldwide language. It was before the Greek Empire. There was one Greek word that's the exact same word in the New Testament, and it's the word for preacher. Remember Mark's dream? It was the preacher that was causing the people to take the mark of the beast that were in the church. They were causing them to walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. And even though they profess Christianity, you could tell they aren't. The herald is the word preacher in the New Testament. The command to worship the image will come from the pulpits in the form of a deception so strong that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. In 1 Kings 12, 10 out of 12 tribes worshiped the image, and their ministers were not Levites. Well, what do you think somebody who's not a Levite, not ordained of God, not sent by God, what could he reproduce? You can't give something away unless you have it, and they don't have it. They can't reproduce anything but themselves. Anybody who's not preaching the Word, they are reproducing themselves. And if it's not the Word, it's Antichrist. The image of the calf in Exodus chapter 32, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they first came out of Egypt, they made them a picture of their God, the golden calf. It was the God that they worshipped when they were in Egypt. But they put their name on that God. They called it Elohim in the original. In the text, it says that. And YHWH. They put the name of the true God on their false image. You know, like Christians do? They call it Christianity. But the people aren't coming into the image of Christ. See, if you come into the image of Christ, you're going to walk as He walked, right? So, discipleship, of course, is what it was back in the book of Acts and in the Gospels. It's still that way. Well, God said, because they worshiped this false image and put His name on it, that He was going to blot them out of His book. That was in verse 33. He's going to blot them out of His book. Is it any different today? No, that's an abomination that maketh desolate right there. See? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it said, would serve not thy gods. That's the word Elohim. That's the same word for our God. See, they had a false Elohim there. Nor worship the golden image. And the Lord spoke this to me one time. He said, they wouldn't bow down because they wouldn't eat Babylon's food. The only three that didn't bow down to the image of the beast were the three that refused to eat Babylon's food and become defiled, quote. See, if you sit under a Babylonish preacher, you're eating Babylonish food, right? That's his word. And the wine they refused represents the nature, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Jesus used the wine to represent His blood. And they refused that wine. They didn't want to be defiled. See? It's the same with us. We have to refuse to accept anything except the Word of God. And if they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, from such turn away, the Bible says. If they don't believe in the power of God to deliver from sin, from the curse, from sickness, they don't believe in the power of God, get out of them. That's what He said. Get away from them, because that is fake. The abomination of desolation and the continual burnt offering. Here's the verses that make it famous. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And upon the wing of abomination shall come one that maketh desolate. And from the time the continual burnt offering shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, I'm going to share with you what the Lord showed me about these two things here. The physical Jews cannot have an abomination that maketh desolate. And yet that's what's being preached, is that that's what we're looking for, is an abomination of desolation in a physical temple over there in Jerusalem. Forget it. It's not going to happen. This is what is happening. They can't have an abomination of desolation because their temple is already desolate. It was desolate in the days of Jesus. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto her, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And very symbolical, but 24:1, the next verse says, and Jesus went out from the temple. Desolate is a word that means deserted. And in the text, he's talking about deserted by God. Okay. Well, if their temple was desolate, how can it become desolate? Are they going to build a temple that God likes, so he's going to come back and inhabit it? No, because in the New Testament, it tells us very plainly in Acts 7:48, in the New Testament, from there on, since God has a spiritual people and a spiritual temple, it says, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in houses made with hands. So it doesn't matter if the Jews build a temple and it's beautiful. It won't make any difference. God's not going to inhabit it. If he's not going to inhabit it, it can't become desolate. And when Jesus died, the veil was rent from top to bottom. The fact that it was rent from top to bottom lets you know that God did it. What was he doing? He was leaving. You know that tail, thing was 6 inches thick. It took 300 priests to carry that thing. That's a miracle, just ripping it from top to bottom. God said, I'm out of here. Christians are the only temple that can become desolate. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He doesn't dwell in temples of hands, so forget it. They can't have an abomination of desolation. The Christians are going to have an abomination of desolation. 6:15, know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? You see what happens if you become a member of a harlot? You're being taken away from being a member of Christ. You can't be both. Revelation 17:16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest, and the beast, these shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate. Now, these are people that are supposed to be knowing God, and now they're becoming desolate. Oh. It reminds me of Jude verse 12. It says, these are they who are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now, you can't be twice dead unless you're twice born, can you? Plucked up by the roots. That's reprobate. You know what reprobate is? That's a desolation of that temple. Reprobation is rejection by God. He leaves that temple. The Apostle Paul said he could be reprobate. He said, even after I've preached to others, if I don't keep my body under, I'll be rejected. That word is a dokimos, reprobated. The physical Jews cannot have a continual burnt offering. The Jews rejected God's Holy One, Jesus. He's the only sacrifice, and God rejected their sacrifice. In Isaiah 1:4, it says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are estranged and gone backwards. They despised the Holy One of Israel. That's Christ. God, when they despised Christ, God then rejected forever their physical sacrifices. In verse 11 it says, what is unto me the multitude of your sacrifices, saith the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. Their fleshly sacrifice is an abomination. They don't have a continual burnt offering. We do. Back in the days of Jesus, something happened, and the Jews understood it. It was a sign from God. See, they wrote in their Talmud about Simon the Righteous. You ever heard of Simon the Righteous? Interesting story. Very interesting story. Simon the Righteous in the 3rd century before Christ was reckoned to be by everybody a righteous high priest. For 40 straight years, Simon the Righteous, when he was choosing the goat, you know, in the Old Testament, how it told them how they brought 2 goats before the priest, and he would pull out a lot to decide which goat was to be sacrificed and which was going to be the scapegoat, the one that was going to be set free in the wilderness. That represents us. The one that was sacrificed is Christ, right? So he had to choose which of these 2 goats was the one to be sacrificed, and he would reach in his bag and pull out a lot. And in his bag he had a white stone, which was called the lot of the Lord, and a black stone. For 40 straight years, Simon pulled the white stone out every time for 40 straight years. The Jews said this in their Talmud. And it was rather amazing to them. This is where they got the idea that pulling the white stone out was a sign that God accepted their sacrifice. You know, the Bible says, he that overcometh, I'll give him a white stone. It's exactly what he's talking about. So, God, it's a sign of God's acceptance of your sacrifice. See, if you overcome. Okay. Well, that wasn't the end of the story. The end of the story is that when Jesus died, there was 40 years between Jesus' death and the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. For 40 straight years, when the high priest stuck his hand in that bag, he came out with a black stone. Because God never wants their sacrifice again. See? He rejected their sacrifice. He don't care if they go back to slaughtering bulls and goats. It won't make any difference. It's not a continual burnt offering. See? Not only that, now they gave testimony against themselves. They said that this was a sign that God was not accepting their sacrifice. Not only that, for 40 straight years, the door going into the Holy of Holies would swing open every night. And they couldn't make it stay closed. And they wrote that in the Talmud. They're witnessing against themselves here. Not only that, the Western menorah, which was the light of Israel, was never to go out. It blew out every night. And they put extra oil in their lamps, and they put extra containers there to make sure it didn't run out of oil. And they did everything they could to stop it from blowing out. It blew out every night. And again, that was the light of Israel. You know why? It blew out. Ooh. And now they think that God's going to be pleased if they go back to continual burnt offering? Who made that up? That's not the truth. God's not pleased with that. They're a rebellious, stiff-necked people. God's got a people in there he's going to get. But they're going to have to become Christians. They're going to have the same sacrifice we've got. Only Christians can have a continual burnt offering taken away. We have the continual burnt offering. 1 Peter 2 and 5. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. We are the temple of God now. To be a holy priesthood. We are the only ones that have priests now. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. In other words, physical sacrifices, he doesn't want that anymore. He don't care about it. Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. God only accepts spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ. Our New Testament continual burnt offering is to devote our bodies to serve God in accordance with His Word rather than self. We are to take up our cross and follow Jesus, or we cannot be His disciples. We are to take up our cross and follow Jesus in sacrifice of the flesh. Remember what the continual burnt offering was? It was sacrificing the flesh of the beast. Ephesians 5 and 1. Be ye therefore imitators of God. We are to imitate God. Everybody says, well, Jesus died so I wouldn't have to die. That's not quite true. Let me explain to you. He died so that you wouldn't have to spiritually die. But he died so that you could die to self. So that you could sacrifice the flesh of the beast. That's why he died. You couldn't deny yourself if he hadn't died. And you couldn't give up your self-life if he hadn't died. You couldn't deny your flesh. So we're to imitate God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ also loved you and gave himself up. We have to give up self on the offering, you know. An offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweet smell. An offering and a sacrifice. We have a continual burnt offering. And the odor of sweet smell, that's a quote from the Old Testament. God loved the smell of burning flesh. How do you think that translates in our covenant? The burning up of the fleshly wood, hay, and stubble of our old life on the altar of the fiery trial is the only acceptable sacrifice. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Isn't that neat? So we're priests. We got a sacrifice, and it has to be continual. But we're also the ones that can have the continual burnt offering taken away. It's not them, it's us. Can you imagine what continual burnt offering taken away is? It's when you cease to offer your body as a sacrifice to God, to serve God in accordance with His will, in accordance with His Word. That's having your continual burnt offering taken away. It'll take a return from the original gospel of our deliverance from power of sin and our dominions over the curse for God to accept the sacrifice of the church. Romans 15:16, that I should be a minister of Christ Jesus unto the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be made acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. See, the gospel makes us an acceptable offering. The true gospel makes us an acceptable offering. He was preparing the Gentiles to be an acceptable offering unto God. We have been without sacrifice for many years because of a great falling away. See, people say that the covenant, the gap in the covenant was because the Jews were without sacrifice. The Christians were without sacrifice. God didn't accept their sacrifice in the days of Jesus. The Christians were the ones that were without sacrifice. We've done our own thing, gone our own way, made up our own religions, and God's coming to restore that.
We need to see what this abomination of desolation and the ceasing of the continual burnt offering means in the church. How can this be manifested in the church? We know it's obviously not true of all God's people, but the Jews became an apostate temple of God, and they became desolate in Jesus' day because He left them. He departed from them. They railed against the truth. They railed against the full gospel. And He reprobated them. It was the full gospel that made the separation in Jesus' day between the Jews that served God and those that didn't. Did you notice that in the book of Acts? The full gospel is going to have a lot to do with the reprobation of a part of Christianity in these days. They're going to fight against the latter reign, like the Jews fought against the former reign. History repeats itself. See? Can you imagine what part of Christianity might right now fight against the latter reign, signs and wonders and miracles and so on? Are they doing that right now? They're doing it right now, folks. And they don't like to lose their position, and they're very jealous of their position. So we've got a great falling away coming, and it's going to be because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming that there's going to be a great falling away. This time it's going to be in Christianity, though, a great falling away. History just keeps repeating itself. Remember that. I want to talk to you about the portion of the body of Christ that is going to have an abomination of desolation and have their continual burnt offering taken away. He's called the son of perdition. Now, Judas was a sign of a coming corporate body. He was a spiritual father of a coming corporate body called the son of perdition. I'm sure you've always heard that the son of perdition was an individual who sat in the temple. But we just discovered what the temple was. All right? A portion of God's temple is the corporate son of perdition and will receive the mark of the beast. I'm sure you heard Dr. Deagle's
revelation, how that the angel, I believe it was Gabriel, came and took him and showed him where they were receiving the mark of the beast, and there was a lot of Christians lined up taking the mark very happily. And he noticed in particular there was a lot of Christians there that believed in unconditional eternal security because they didn't think they could be lost, taking the mark of the beast. Whoa. The son of perdition is going to take the mark of the beast. This is a taking away of their continual burnt offering. Remember what the mark of the beast is? It's the name manifested in the hand and in the mind. And the name of the beast is his nature, character, and authority. That's what happened to Judas. He was a sign of the coming son of perdition. And when Satan entered into him, his continual burnt offering was taken away. He was an abomination that maketh desolate, meaning deserted by God. He was a temple that was desolate, you see. In Acts 1 and 20, there's a type of this. I say it's a type because it's not talking physically, but it is written in the book of Psalms, "Let his habitation be made desolate, and let no man dwell therein." His habitation be made desolate. The son of perdition, Judas, was made desolate. Judas was a sign of the end-time corporate son of perdition who walks in his steps. Remember, spiritual bodies walk in the steps of their spiritual father. Okay. Actually, you know, it's pretty much that way in the natural too. The spiritual is just a replica of the natural there. Because in the natural, many times children walk in the steps of their physical fathers. It's because the nature is passed on through the blood, right? Well, our nature's been passed on through the blood too. But it's the blood of Jesus, right? His nature and his life is in that blood. Emmanuel in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 16. In chapter 7, Emmanuel is a revelation about him being manifest through Mary. And his name is mentioned several times. And in chapter 8, it's mentioned twice. And he is speaking here in chapter 8 and verse 16. And he says, "Bind thou up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples." Now, Jesus' disciples, I mean, that's not a common word in the Old Testament, disciples. Jesus is speaking about his disciples. He said, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs." Jesus called the disciples his children many times. And here it says they're signs. That's the word "uth." It means omen. An omen is a sign of something to come. See, Jesus was a sign of something to come. And all of his disciples were signs of something to come. They were signs of corporate bodies to come. Jesus, in the end time, is going to be first manifested as the first fruits man-child in Revelation chapter 12, who's born from the woman and teaches the woman for 3.5 years. See, Jesus was a sign of something to come, right? A virgin shall conceive and bear a sign, right? And all of the disciples represented corporate bodies too. One of them I want to talk to you about is Judas, because Judas was a spiritual father. He was a sign of something to come in our day that's much greater.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.